Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, final hour of the Late Show. And we are joined now on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline, friend of the show, great dude, amazing friend. His name is Kevin Gorg. You guys know him from FanDuel Sports and from Canterbury Park. KG, are you at the park right now? Is it a Canterbury College night or what?
I'm at home tonight. I'll be at the park all weekend. Thank you for the kind words. I cherish our friendship. Love texting with you on a regular basis about all the games we love so much. And, yeah, we got treated to a great Stanley Cup game last night, and now we've got the NBA Finals start tonight. So sports fans are getting paid, H.
Well, I'll say this. Tonight in studio, filling in, producing, is Lindsay. And she's a goalie. I mean, I know that you like goaltenders.
I am a former goalie myself.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So I knew you would show a little love for Lindsay. I appreciate that, my man. How you been, by the way?
I've been good. You know, off to a great start at Canterbury in the summer. As you know, Henry, we've got a lot of great friends, mutual friends that we work with out of Canterbury, and Jeff Madej and Paul Allen, respectively, Johnny the Mouse Mickelson, just great people. And love the vibe out there every summer. You know, my winter's a little more hectic, buttoned up in the suits, a little more travel. Love the gig with the Wild. To me, summer's much more relaxing, and it's been a great first couple of weeks at the track.
Yeah, and I did talk to Jeff Madej last week, and yeah, it seems as though like the first couple of weeks out at Canterbury, it's been nice, it's been fun. And the thing about Canterbury Park and the entire area out there is if a person hasn't been to the park in several years, they need to go back out there because it's always a great place to go see horse racing and make some wagers and have a good time. But the entire area surrounding Canterbury Park is dramatically different now and more festive and nicer and newer and remodeled than ever before.
Yeah, it's crazy how it's changed in the last couple of years. The bars and restaurants around that area, Shakopee continues to grow. And then, you know, the racetrack continues to expand. Canterbury's done a great job of modernizing that facility. You've got music, you've got beverages, you've got food at 15 different restaurants. You're outside, you're enjoying the beautiful weather. And if you want to play the horses, that's great. It's a great gathering place and a great social spot. And, you know, when I first started going to the track in the 80s, it was all about the hardcore, you know, the gambling side of horse racing. Canterbury's become far more of an entertainment destination. We do all kinds of great things in between the races. On family days, on Sundays, we've got all kinds of great activities for the kids. So if people haven't done it in a while, you're right, H. It's a completely different experience. And I'd recommend your listeners check us out on our website at CanterburyPark.com because there truly is out of Canterbury something for everybody.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Hey, we'll get to hockey at the end, but let's talk horses. We have made it to the Belmont Stakes. The way that I typically view the three different stakes weekends to kind of kick off the spring into the summer is you have the Kentucky Derby, which is always phenomenal. I love the card there. Then the Preakness, which is a couple of weeks after. I think just over the course of the last 10 years, it's very light in terms of the quality of horses, the horses that are trying to or the fields maybe of the stakes races. And whenever you see a horse that wins the Derby bypass the Preakness, it makes it a little bit less inviting for people to want to be a part of the festivities. But by the time that you get to the Belmont Stakes, we're like totally back at it. The fields are great. Everybody wants to be a part of the Belmont. I love just the field sizes and the type of talent that we're going to see be a part of the weekend. But how unique is the Belmont now when the actual Belmont is being ran at Saratoga because of the renovations taking place?
Yeah, you know, you look at Saratoga Racetrack, and for those that don't follow horse racing like you and I do, think about Fenway Park and the Red Sox and that tradition. They've been running races at this spot up in Saratoga Springs, just outside of Albany, New York, for over 100 years. And I've been to Saratoga a handful of times, including last summer. It really is a walk back in time. And so for last summer and for this summer, as they rebuild Belmont Park out in Elmont, New York, this is the host to Belmont Week. And it is spectacular. It is old school. And I think this year, because the Belmont Stakes has both the Preakness winner in journalism, the Derby winner, Sovereignty, and then that up-and-comer, Baeza, who's been the steam horse this week out in New York, there are some great storylines. And I think, you know, horse racing got lucky because we live in a world where social media can dictate so much of the popularity of all these sports. And what happened in the Preakness was something I had never seen. And journalism basically got cold stopped within traffic in mid-stretch with a furlong to go. And, you know, when that happens, horses get stopped all the time. They never re-rally and win. Once in a while, they'll re-rally and finish second or third. But what he did, that athletic ability and that will to win, caught fire on social media. And it was one of those, you know, experiences that went viral. And so you had a great Derby. You had these two horses run 1-2, and now they're going to rematch in the Belmont. And it's just going to be an incredible, incredible horse race. You know, I look at the Belmont, Henry, as one of those races that stands the test of time. They call it the test of champions. And even though it's not a mile and a half because they've rotated to Saratoga, the Belmont, to me, because of where it lands on the calendar and what you get in the Belmont, a lot of times the best of the crop that they have to offer, it's always a heavyweight match. And this year is absolutely no exception.
All right, how do you feel about the race? And we're talking to Kevin Gore from FanDuel Sports in Canterbury Park here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. How do you feel about the race itself? We have 8 horses that are entered. I believe legitimately that there are 3 horses that are in a tier to win it. And those 3 horses would be Journalism, Baeza, and clearly Sovereignty. Sovereignty, a horse that me and you appreciate that we cashed on in the Kentucky Derby. We were both on the same horse. I think that they're in a tier all by themselves. What do you make of that comment that I made, and what do you make of the rest of the field?
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think the wagering is going to show that. You know, I think those 3 were probably the 3 best horses in the Kentucky Derby in that 19-horse field. They had to overcome the big crowd, the sloppy track, the traffic. And Baeza did get stopped in traffic and really had to steady briefly as they turned for home. And those 3 were clearly the best 3 horses when they hit the wire. The only wild card that I can see on Saturday in the Belmont is you always have to respect Bob Baffert. He's got a horse named Rodriguez who appears to be the speed of the speed. And unlike the Kentucky Derby, Henry, there just isn't a ton of speed in this race. It's a much smaller, more condensed field. When you have 19 horses at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May, the horses are amped up and the crowd is big and it's loud, the pace tends to be faster than it should be. I don't know that that's the case on Saturday. I still have question marks around Rodriguez, but I respect Bob Baffert. And at any racetrack, at any time, I respect low and speed. So if Rodriguez is given the front, I think he's dangerous. Outside of that, though, the big 3 are the big 3. Baez off the troubled trip. And if you watch the replay of the Derby, he actually got around Journalism just past the wire. He was flying late after that traffic issue turning for home. And I'm so in love with what Bill Mott, the trainer of Sovereignty, has meant to our game. He's an old school trainer. He's a Hall of Famer. He does it the right way. He's patient with his horses. And let's not forget, the Derby got over and they had made that decision to look at the big picture and the Breeders' Cup and maybe the Travers and backload the calendar for this horse. He is based out of Saratoga. That's where this horse is stabled. He's been at home. He's been training. He's been in his normal routine. And he's been resting for 5 weeks. the question mark around journalism, who I think is just a remarkable racehorse, is this is his third race in 5 weeks, and he has looked incredible in all the footage I've seen of him working out at Saratoga. But it's still three races in 5 weeks. So you get three of the absolute best three-year-olds going head-to-head, and I just think it's going to be a fantastic addition of the Belmont.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and you're right. Like, when you look at Mike Smith riding for Baffert and the speed, that is a little bit scary. When I look at Sovereignty and you look at journalism, and my thing, there's no knocking Sovereignty or journalism. I like both of those horses, and journalism has been unbelievable. But you're right. Like, this many races in a condensed amount of time, you know, it to me, it sets up that the horse could possibly bounce and regress a little bit.
That is the worry, you know, and as talented as he clearly is, these horses aren't most often campaigned to race more than once a month. And when you squeeze in three races in 5 weeks and you factor in how taxing a Kentucky Derby will be at a mile and a quarter in that slot, and then you go 2 weeks right to the Preakness in Baltimore, and you have that physical altercation in mid-stretch, and he's stopped and he rallies. He's going to have to be an incredible horse to pull this off. He'll likely end up being the favorite, and rightfully so. I think if you look at this, he and Sovereignty, to me, is a coin flip as the most talented horses of their generation. And then you've got to factor in Baeza, who has knocked heads out in California with journalism before and really made him work in the Santa Anita Derby. And then, as I mentioned, with that trouble, was almost able to catch both these horses in the late stages of the Kentucky Derby. So to me, it's going to come down to a couple things. The three races in 5 weeks for journalism, absolutely. And then Sovereignty has to overcome the fact that he is a closer who lays way back early and really is pace dependent. And if nobody puts the pressure on Rodriguez and that pace is moderate, can Sovereignty make up the 6, 8, 10, 12 lengths he's going to have to make up to get there? And I think the advantage that both Baeza and journalism have is they've got more natural speed.
Yep.
So they can place themselves closer to that front runner in the race, and they're going to get the first run at Rodriguez, likely around that far turn. So to me, it's super compelling as to which one of those two wrestles the lead away from Rodriguez, if they're able to, and then can Sovereignty be good enough to close on moderate fractions and get around to the very best three-year-olds in the country. I think it's going to come down to those three in the final furlong, and I think we're going to get treated to a really good race this weekend.
Who are you siding with? Who you like?
I like Sovereignty. I think the home track advantage is legit. I have felt all the way through the spring that he was the best of his generation. I didn't see anything in the Kentucky Derby that is going to sway my mind. And I think Bill Mott is one of those guys that looks at this race as being the most important race on the calendar because they're based out of New York and because this is the Belmont Stakes. And I think they've had this in the back pocket all the way through, and they didn't want to risk the Belmont by running in the Preakness. I wish they would have. I really do, for the good of the game, wish they would have run there. But I respect the decision to do right by the horse. And I think, you know, if you look at the early wagering, and I checked this afternoon, and there's already $250,000 being bet into the pools in New York. And as of right now, it's 2-1, a light favorite for journalism, 5-2 on Baeza, and 7-2 on Sovereignty. If you're going to let Sovereignty go off as the third choice.
Really? So Sovereignty, right now, Sovereignty's the third choice? If that's the case, I'm all over Sovereignty.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up going off around 3-1. I think he is going to be third choice. Mm. And I get it. Listen, the pace of the race is a question mark, and he is the horse that's probably going to be the most dependent on how that pace plays out. But I think in between people being frustrated he didn't run in the Preakness, seeing what journalism did, and then the troubled trip in the Derby for Baeza, I got a lot of handicappers, national handicappers I really respect. You know, these are people like David Aragona, Andy Serling, the Track Phantom, David Valento. These are people I always like to check in on their picks, and they're all picking Baeza. So there's a lot of steam out there on the troubled trip from the Derby. So I do think Sovereignty ends up going off as the third favorite. And again, my hands are tied. I felt he's the best all the way through. And I didn't see anything on the first Saturday of May that tells me any different. So I think even if the pace is a little slower, I think at a mile and a quarter, this guy's going to come with his run. He's a big, strong horse that's only getting stronger, and he's on his home track. So I think that's going to be a big advantage too.
All right, what do you make of the Stanley Cup Finals? Who do you like winning it, and what was your take coming out of Game 1?
Oh, Henry, I loved Game 1. I mean, you know, first of all, I'm super impressed with the coverage on TNT. The NHL's finally figured it out. The NBA's had this for years. It isn't just the game you're trying to sell. You're trying to sell the pre, the post, and the intermissions. And the NBA has had Charles Barkley forever. He's a national treasure. And Paul Bissonnette on the hockey side is that guy. And watching him and Wayne Gretzky go back and forth last night, loved the coverage. The game lived up to the billing. These two teams, you know, went seven games last year. It was an epic cup final. And Florida looks like the team that's heavier, that's been there and done that. And Edmonton, to me, is a team that's the up-and-comers. They've got the superstar in McDavid. They've got Draisaitl, his wingman. And they looked faster last night. They looked better last night. And I didn't see that coming. I think before the series, I thought it'd be a long series. I thought the physical play of Florida could sway the series in their favor. Each team was credited with 51 hits last night. So not only was it fast-paced, not only were we treated to a 4-3 overtime thriller, but it was physical and fast and well-played. I really like what I'm seeing. I hope we get another classic. I would love this thing to go seven games. And I think you have to shade towards Edmonton's side, not just because they won last night, because they earned home ice. And Henry, the thing about the Oilers, they kind of muddled their way through the entire regular season. They looked like a team that was tired from that cup run last year. But something happened along the way in these playoffs. They got off to a rough start in L.A. They gave up a bunch of goals. They got down in that series, and then they caught fire. And it hasn't slowed since. And if their goaltender, Stuart Skinner, can just be good or up to the standards of Bobrovsky in the series, Edmonton has more speed. Edmonton has the high-end talent, and I think they'll find a way. But, man, Florida is going to be a tough out. They just don't make a lot of mistakes.
KG, you're the best, man. Let's cast some tickets. We'll be corresponding and chatting about this weekend, man.
Looking forward to the Belmont. Hope your listeners come out and enjoy it. It's at Canterbury. We race at 4 o'clock on Saturday. The Belmont starts around 6 o'clock. It's going to be epic, and I'll be texting with you all weekend long, my friend.
Sounds good, my man. That's Kevin Gore joining us here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Make sure that you go out to Canterbury Park. You make those wagers so you can make some money. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll get to Word on the Street.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what is the word on the street?
The hot goss, right?
Lindsey Brown's going to tell us what the word on the street is.
Right on. So I got a little bit on top, but I'm very excited to share some of the hot goss because sometimes the celebrities cross into the big world news. I'm not sure if you've been following this freedom flotilla that is sending itself towards Gaza. Greta Thunberg and 11 other activists are aboard a boat called the Madeleine, also known as the Freedom Flotilla. They left on the 3rd of July. The journey is said to take 7 days to reach Gaza. Why are they going to Gaza? Because they are attempting to break Israel's more than 17-year-long illegal and inhumane blockade of the Gaza Strip. No food is going in. And Greta Thunberg says it is on us to step up and be the adults in the building, or in the world, I should say. The aid includes baby formula, flour, rice, diapers, women's sanitary products, water, desalination kits, medical supplies, crutches, and children's prosthetics. We cannot sit by and allow this to happen. We are watching a genocide happening for decades and decades and decades of systemic oppression, ethnic cleansing, and occupation. We are just human beings, very concerned about what's happening and do not accept what's going on. There were some drones around the boat earlier today. At least that's what I saw on TikTok. But they are heading towards the Gaza Strip, and we're not sure what's going to happen to them.
This is going to be super interesting. And the reason why I say this is going to be super interesting, number one, Greta is going to be viewed forever as an unbelievable activist who fought for what she believes in. I say that this is going to be interesting to watch because she's getting threats from folks over in Israel. She's getting Israeli threats.
Right.
So I'm hoping that nothing happens, but I guess that the way that I'm trying to say is I'm concerned for her safety just because we are living in a time where, and we've seen with this war and we've seen what's happening over there, that Israel is just indiscriminately killing people. And it's unacceptable. And I'm not, I don't want to hear from anybody about Hamas and all this other stuff, but when somebody is critical of Israel, that doesn't mean that they're, of course we don't like Hamas. What I'm saying is, or I'm speaking for myself, but the bottom line is that I just hope that she's able to make the trek there, get there with the people that she's with, and nothing happens to her. I want her to be safe. Because she's symbolizing trying to get people the help that they need and deserve, and right now we're not getting a lot of that.
Right. She's putting her safety on the line because so many others is on a moment-to-moment basis. All the best of luck to her as they look to break the blockade. We were talking a little bit about this a few minutes ago with Kevin Gork, which will be podcastable on all platforms. But last night, Wayne Gretzky discovered who Chapel Roan was, or at least her song. It's the crossover you never imagined. Chapel Roan, queer artist and activist. And the NHL are having a little bit of a love fest this year. And not only is it from last night where it was discovered, or at least there were some questions asked about Pink Pony Club being played for the Edmonton Oilers during their postseason victories in the locker room. We've even heard The Giver played on Hockey Night in Canada on a broadcast a few months ago. But here's the exchange between Wayne Gretzky and Paul Bissonnette.
How the song came to be, it's kind of like Jobu, where it's maybe kind of a secret inside the locker room. Yeah. I don't know how the whole thing sparked and began, but they seem to be rallying around it and enjoying
it. But no one's giving details.
Nobody yet. That's why I was trying to ask a few questions about it.
Pink Pony, is that a band or is that a song?
It's a woman. She sings a song, Pink Pony Club, and it's famous. It's on the radio. And,
Canadian? American?
I think it's an American girl, but all of a sudden it popped off. I believe she won a few Grammys, and now they're rocking it in the locker room, so I'm
Pink
curious.
Pony.
Pink Pony. It's yeah. It's the new generation, Wayne.
I gotta get that on my ringtone.
Wayne would think ringtones are still a thing. Still a thing in my phone.
That is funny.
Right?
That is ringtones.
Yep. I used to get those for pitching a shutout. That was my bribery device.
I'll say that I never did a ringtone.
Really?
No, I never did it.
You never had it by Gavin DeGraw by the Tones in your phone?
It was never my thing. I never got into it.
Promiscuous Girl by Nelly Furtado.
Not one.
Those that know, they know. And finally, to wrap a word on the street up, a little bit of a local angle. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the 20-foot-tall pencil that resides on a Lake of the Isles lawn. It is getting its annual sharpening this weekend. Yes, Henry, it's happening. This is a free event. You can find all the details on the Minnesota Star Tribune website. But a giant public artwork that was created by Curtis Ingvoldstad, which is totally the right way to say his name. There was a...
You probably got it.
Yeah, I probably was pretty darn close. Something Scandinavian. What basically happened is there was a private property, a house, where a tree fell down, and they wanted to make use of the tree stub. And so they got this artist. He made a giant pencil. And he's also commissioned a giant pencil sharpener where they will turn in a ceremony. And it's really amazing, I think, the message. And there's actually a documentary. Speaking of documentaries, another thing about our show today, lots of documentaries being made and talked about, is being made about this sculpture. And the documentarian was saying he first saw the pencil on someone's Instagram account just before its ritual sharpening. There's something about turning an object to the scale of its source material, like making a pencil the size of a tree. It seemed really funny to me. But there's also a quote from John. John is the owner of the house that features the tree, where he described the pencil sharpening as something of a yearly gathering. It's a celebration and renewal, but also an acknowledgement of the passage of time. I love that.
When was the last time you actually used a pencil?
I use pencils all the time. I don't use wood pencils. Number two, 0.7 lead.
No, you don't.
Bic, you want me to bring it out? Bring them out.
I mean, you're
just tell when you got pencils in your mouth. Boom. Oh, there's two.
That's mechanical.
I just said it's not wooden.
I'm talking about actual wooden.
I'm not taking standardized tests.
Let me say this right now.
Oh, they're new erasers, too.
Mechanical pencils are lame.
False.
You either go wood or you go home.
Mm-mm. Because then when I break my pencil, because I'm scribbling in addition to taking notes because my brain can't focus on one thing, I can't just keep getting up and sharpening it. I'm going to lose my spot taking notes.
I thought you were better than this.
Oh, my God. What if I make a mistake? I can just erase it. I can just say, oh, it's no longer there.
Man.
Come on. Did you have your own sharpener? Did you pack your own sharpener or did you use the communal sharpener? Were you prepared?
Both.
Okay. Well, it's good to know about
I had
you.
The one that would go on in my little backpack.
I don't know. That technique looks a little rusty to me.
I haven't used one in forever.
Mm. Well, I'm using it just in a different form. Who's that?
I mean, I haven't used a pencil in a long time, but I'm saying I love them. I'm old school.
Wow.
Old school, baby.
Wow. Wow, Henry. Who would have thought we would have separated on this fine evening over pencils?
Yeah, I'm done with
it. I can't believe I have two orange ones. I usually have multicolored. I have a pack, but then I reduced it just to a couple because I have a new bag.
That's not orange. That's yellow.
This is orange. This is not the dress from 2015. Is it blue or is it black? These are orange. This is orange.
It doesn't look orange from here.
I mean, there's a yellowish hue, but it's certainly orange.
Okay.
I would slow down if I confronted with it in a traffic situation. That's what I would do.
All right. Let's get a wrap up. Word on the street. What's next? The weather and more of The Lake Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I wanted to talk for a couple of minutes about, the NBA Finals. The way that this game has started tonight, the series could be over early. We see why the Indiana Pacers, who have been phenomenal this year, okay? So this is no shade towards the Indiana Pacers. They have been unbelievable. But the Indiana Pacers just don't match up well with OKC. I'm not going to sit here and say that OKC's destined.
Is it from last night?
I'm not going to say that they're destined to win. But they're just the better team. They played Indiana twice this year, and they won handedly in both times that they faced each other. And right now at halftime, they're up 57-45. I want this to be a competitive series. And I said on this show last night, I'm not the person that hates on different markets or hates on all the different styles of play. Like, there's uniqueness in sports. Okay? We get that. But for the sake of the NBA, if the Thunder blow Indiana out the first two games, people are going to check out. I just that's just what I think is going to happen. I don't know how you feel about that, Lindsay, but that's just the feel that I have. That if the Thunder's up 12 right now, the actual betting line tonight was 9.5. So which is that's a big line in sports betting. If they blow out the Pacers in games 1 and 2, I think that people will check out. And people will be like, you know what? It's summertime. Hey, Lake, I'll holler at you. We'll see y'all in Vegas at NBA Summer League and watch all the draft picks. I think that that's where people will be in terms of with their head and mindset. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I'm going to watch because I think that Indiana's got some fight. Indiana was down to New York by 20 and came storming back in game one. They're capable of coming back on any team. But the point of it is, Oklahoma City Thunder is expected to crush. And if they crush the first two games, people will be like, yeah, they're doing what everybody said that they were going to do, so I'm done here.
Hmm. Yeah, it's hard to argue. It truly is. And what's fascinating, too, because I was a huge fan of the early Thunder. Like, I was in on Kevin Durant early.
Me too.
35's my number. That's my guy. I loved watching Russell Westbrook and him run up and down the court and then kick out to James Harden in transition. It was awesome. That finals, they got smoked. There just seems to be a lack of appreciation for what OKC has done this year and just for the superstar that is SGA. And maybe it's the mid-range, maybe it's the lack of flash, but all I know is every time when I look at a sports TikTok and I look in the comments, they say SGA is probably shooting free throws right now. So, like, it's there.
And people don't like the style of play. I have no issue with it.
To me, it's a more...
It's different.
It's kind of more pure. It's a more pure version of basketball.
I just don't like some of the flopping.
No.
But he's not the only one that does it, though.
Correct.
A lot of other people. I mean, Luka does it. Jalen Brunson does it.
He doesn't beg for calls in the same way. I think that has a big thing to do with it, too. But games, life... anything swings so far one way, there's going to be a swing back. And they represent a diversification into how they go about their business and how they succeed in the NBA. And we like seeing the long three-pointers. We like seeing the dunks. Defense, it's not that fun to watch. At least unless there's close games in the finals. I think the only chance the Pacers really have, can they get the elder Halliburton out of the suite? Can they bring him back downstairs? I know they just let him back in the building.
I don't think it's going to help.
That might be the only thing they can throw in there. And so, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this second half goes. But I agree. I think there's going to be an exodus of viewership that's already kind of in a sticky spot this year.
Yeah. I want to see a good series. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't really care about who wins and who loses. I just think that they're going to be overmatched, and they being the Indiana Pacers. I just think that OKC is the team. This is their year.
Yeah.
I just think that's how it's going to play out. Some sad news to report here. Kirsten Russell, the twin sister of five-star Alabama freshman quarterback Keelan Russell, has died. And according to the Tuscaloosa police officials, they say her death at this time appears to be non-criminal in nature. According to the police statement, which added that the family had given permission to confirm Kirsten Russell's death to help quell media inquiries, police said Thursday no other information will be released at this time and asked that the privacy of the family be respected. I don't know. I can't even fathom what it's like for a five-star freshman quarterback at Alabama. One of the big dogs who he enrolled early is going through, it went through spring practice, and your twin sister passed away. He was ESPN's number two overall prospect. Like, I bring this up because, like, your headspace, like, oh gosh, I just, I can't even imagine, man. I feel for that young man. This is terrible news to hear. That's tough. By the way, quick bit of information. Love to see any of you out there in the listening audience at Inbound Brewing tomorrow. Inbound, I'm going to be there 6 o'clock doing the late show at Inbound Brewing, which is literally 2 blocks away from Target Field. I'll take you up to pregame for the Minnesota Twins, and then we've got Twins baseball after that, and then I will do final pitch to kind of cap off the evening. But, yeah, from 6 o'clock until 6:30, we'll be hanging out at Inbound doing the show. Love to see you guys there. Have you been to Inbound Brewing ever?
I have not.
It's a cool spot. Super cool spot. It's literally 2 blocks away from the stadium. Super cool. And I hope that, I mean, the weather tomorrow is going to be a little bit, I think there's going to be a little bit of rain. I think there's like, let me get look at the forecast.
Oh, my gosh.
Somebody tomorrow, scattered showers, high of 70, low of 58. So it'll be fine temperature-wise. Friday night, there is a slight chance of showers and partly cloudy. So there's that. But the slight chance is a 10% chance.
That's not.
So it's not bad. But, yeah, if you're out there in the listening audience, stop on by before the Twins. Heck, stop and see us and head on down to Target Field. Have a blast. All right, 651-461-9226. Final segment of The Lake Show is next. All right, you got big plans for the weekend? Lynn's?
Ooh, I have an amazing shift on deck on Saturday. And then
how long is the shift?
11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's a good shift.
It is a good shift. I bring plenty of snacks, so I'm really looking forward to that. And then I'm going to be painting like crazy because the plans this weekend, pretty chill. Next weekend, I go to the Boundary Waters. You ever been?
You're excited.
I've never been up there.
I've never been.
I want to.
I'm not
go
hating.
Up.
I'm just saying the way that you. I'm like, if the people could have saw you.
Oh, they will. I'm taping it.
But I'm saying that reaction. I'm like
content creation, leveraging my life experiences for
down,
your consumption. It's all we got left. Yeah, so I'm going to the Boundary Waters. I'm gonna lay on a rock. I'm gonna stare into the ether. Ask for answers. We don't know how long they're going to be there here, Henry.
Oh.
I'm going to have to poop in a hole.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I mean,
you're a camper? You like to camp and stuff?
I haven't been camping a long time. I like adventuring. I'm always prepared for an adventure.
What's the difference?
Probably the outfit. I have an outfit. I like cosplaying as adventurers. Like, when I was living in Vegas, I would go hiking by myself. Always bring a knife. I would put on the Westworld soundtrack in my headphones, and I would just start walking.
Oh, I do want to get to this and be super serious.
Okay.
For a second. No, we're having fun. I just thought about this just because his picture just came up. I want to send well wishes to Jay Harris, SportsCenter anchor. It was revealed earlier today that he has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And so, yeah, I mean, I love watching him on ESPN. He seems like just an amazing person. So wishing him nothing but good health moving forward. I hope that that he does well and awesome in his treatment and everything, whatever. And I didn't see in terms of like what stage or anything like that, whatever, but just wishing Jay Harris the best.
And his family too.
Absolutely.
It's hard being a support system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, amazing job from Lindsay tonight. Thanks so much to Kevin Gorg for being a part of the show. Thanks to ZM Growth for being a part of the show, talking about 612 Darkness in the Land of Nice. I will talk to you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Inbound Brewing. Join me for the Lake Show leading into Twins baseball.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up.
You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.